10, Romans chapter number 10. You say, I don't know you. Well, I don't know you either, so we're even. But if you're saved and know Jesus Christ, that makes us brothers and sisters. Amen. And we'll spend eternity together, and I may be your next door neighbor for all eternity. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I want to encourage you in the Lord tonight. I was telling Brother McGovern, I am a bus kid. Those of you that work in the bus ministry, I want to commend you and promote you, provoke you, prod you, whatever else I can do to stay faithful in the work of God. I started as a 12-year-old kid going to church, mostly because I liked this girl that was going there. It's what it is. But the pastor in Kentucky started a bus route, and I was one of the first bus kids on that route. And I saw something in church. I saw something that I didn't see anywhere else. I saw some people that really cared about me. And it really made a difference in my life. I didn't get saved till I was 19. Before I started going to church, I had made a profession in faith. I was at church on Easter Sunday. My family were CEOs, Christmas and Easter only. That's what they were. And we were in church in Tennessee, and they... I had never heard the gospel, never knew anything, but they said, who wants to go to heaven when you die? And I raised my hand, and they said, if you'll just pray this prayer, you'll be fine. And I didn't know what I was doing more than a man on the moon, and I prayed a prayer. But being saved is much more than praying a prayer. Amen. It is receiving Jesus Christ. But that's all I knew, and so I said, well, I'm supposed to be saved. So this girl I liked was going to this, at the time, a Southern Baptist church, soon to be Independent Baptist. Brother Wayne Henderson was the pastor, and started going to church in a vehicle. A man named Roy Moorhead took his car and picked up kids because the church didn't have a bus at the time. And I started going to church with him. And then about a month later, they started a bus, and I rode that bus. And I'm so thankful that somebody had a burden to see people get saved. Somebody had a burden to tell me the gospel, and got saved at 19 on a Friday night. The preaching was on hell, and but I had been in church 7 years now, and I was active in church. I was teaching a Sunday school class. I was I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I got to lead singing every now and then, and I can't sing good, but I can wave my arms real big. And that Friday night, I sat through that sermon, and the whole sermon, I'm thinking, you know, hell is an awful place. And during that invitation, the Holy Spirit became very real, and I've been struggling with this thing for years. And he said, "You better get settled tonight. Get saved tonight." And when I went down, I didn't say, "Lord, if I'm lost, save me." I said, "Lord, I'm lost, save me." And I got saved on the left side of the altar, Bethel Baptist Church. There was 25 people that came forward that night. I don't know about the other 24, but I know one fellow that got the goods. And I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ looked down and saw a snotty-nosed bus kid in Kentucky and saved his soul. I'm so thankful that somebody gave me the gospel. I'm so thankful that somebody had a burden to start that bus route. Amen. And I want to encourage you in the Lord that if you're serving, whatever capacity you're serving, stay with it and stay faithful. There may be a young Wayne Matheson that's there that you don't know about that can get saved. And then God called me to preach, went to college, and I've pastored two churches. And God has been so good to me. My life text is Psalm 34:6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And I'm so thankful for what God has done for me. Thankful that God set the solitary in families. Thankful that God took a man. I remember sitting in church as a young kid, you know, 12, 13, 14, and I'd see these kids, teenagers, testify about their mom and dad in church and their mom and dad serving God. And I thought, boy, I wish my mom and dad served God. But God let me marry the piano. I ran over the piano player, and she played the piano, and we got married. And I didn't come from a Christian home, but I said, I'm going to start one now. Amen. And God has been so good and so gracious. I appreciate the testimonies. from little children to old men. And one generation is to praise thy works unto another. Psalm 145:4 says, amen. And teach these young people how to praise God, how to thank God. Well, if you got your Bible, Romans chapter number 10, I just want to read a verse and give you a thought. I know many of you are tired. I understand that. And I'll be obedient to the Lord. In Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Boy, Paul had a genuine concern for his people. He had a burden to see his people saved. In fact, if you'll turn back just a page in your Bible, if you look at Romans chapter number 9, verse number 2, he said that I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Amen. Paul had a burden, and as a Christian, someone that's been saved 34 years, a burden to see people saved is critical in this Christian life. Now, I'm not making a statement to try to get you to go soul winning on Saturday or try to get you to do all, because you can be faithful every Saturday, but I'm talking more than just that. I'm talking about a weight that's on your shoulder, a continual burden to see people saved. And that's what I want to preach about, a burden for the conversion of sinners, the weight of that. Now, we carry many burdens in life. You know, if you're married together, or even if you're not married, finances can be a burden. You get old in age, your frailty becomes a burden. Your future, you're young and you wonder, what's the future hold? It's a burden. The Bible mentions in Malachi the burden of the word of the Lord. And I appreciate your pastor. I appreciate a man that is standing for the word of God. Somebody say amen right there. A man that preach the word of God without fear or favor. And there are burdens that he will carry that you will never carry, because he is the man of God. And I'll say this, he is worthy of double honor. Amen. And he deserves your prayer. He deserves your support. Do whatever you can to get behind that man of God, because he carries a burden. Amen. Souls are in the balance every time he preaches. And it is a weight on his shoulder every time. Sometimes a sermon, you just, only preachers can, I mean, it just gnaws at you. You know, and it's just there eating at you. And, you know, and you know you've got to preach it. Maybe it's pleasant, maybe it's not pleasant. But it's like, it is a weight on your shoulder. And then finally, when you preach it, you get to say, "Woo, it's off my shoulder." He carries a burden that you don't carry. The content of that message sometimes is not pleasant. Sometimes the burden that he carries is not in this pulpit, but it's back there in that office. Sometimes there's conversations that goes on in that office between him and others that you're not aware of. And burdens, he's got to carry the burden of his self and his family, but he carries the burden of the church, the weight of the church on his shoulder. He deserves your prayer. Amen. We have burdens. But this burden for seeing people saved, what does it do? What's the purpose of it? Well, let me say this. First of all, it glorifies God. When you carry a burden to see people saved, it glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible does say, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all for what? To the glory of God. Nothing displays the power of God more than a sinner getting saved. Amen. God showed his power when he parted the Red Sea, but that's nothing compared to a sinner getting saved. You say God showed his power when he called fire down, when Elijah called fire down from heaven and fire consumed the sacrifice, but that is nothing compared to an old wretched sinner whose life has been transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that displays the power of God more than anything, so it glorifies God. It humbles us. When we remember, when we carry a burden, we remember what we were before we came to Jesus Christ. You say, "Preacher, I've been saved all my life," and you've been saved too long. Because I've not been saved all my life. There was a time I was not saved. There was a time I knew I was heading for hell. There's a time I knew I needed Jesus Christ. Amen. And there was a pivotal moment in my life when Jesus Christ came in and turned my life around. And it will help us to remember what we were before we met Jesus Christ. The Bible says to the Israelites, Deuteronomy 5:15, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt. And that the Lord thy God brought thee thence through a mighty hand and with a stretched out arm. He tells us in the New Testament, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by them which are circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, without hope, and without God in this world. It humbles us. When you carry a burden, it sets your priorities straight. You realize that making $1 million is not the most important thing in the world. You realize that advancement in your career is not the most important thing in the world. You realize that having the nicest house in town is not the most important thing in the world. But the souls of men that are dying and going to hell are the most important things in the world. Paul put it this way, to the weak I become weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. God said, Paul said, I will do whatever it takes to get somebody saved. And it's what God uses to propagate the gospel. That burden, someone had a burden to start this church. Someone had a burden to tell you about the gospel. Somebody carried a burden to witness to your friends or your loved ones. And it's what God uses. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. This burden is only carried by saved people. A lost man doesn't carry this burden. A lost man, he's just going about his business, minding his own business. But a saved man, he realizes there is an eternity. And he realizes there's a heaven and there's a hell. And he realizes there is a lot more at stake than just you can see with your eyes, and we carry it. And it's not just an emotional stir. It's not just a rat race mentality. You know, can we get 10 saved this week? Can we get 5 saved this week? Can we get 20 saved? It's not a rat race mentality, but it's a burden to see lives changed. And now Hudson worked 7 years before he saw one convert. Most independent Baptist churches would have dropped him after a year or two. Amen. It is a work. I put three types of burdens for sinners that we carry. Number one, there is a public burden. You know, we want everybody saved. Amen. Doesn't God want everybody saved? Amen. And if God wants everybody saved, we want everybody saved. You say, preacher, their hair's green and they've got tattoos and they've got 25 earrings. Well, you've got 2 earrings and you got brown hair. And they are a soul just as important to Jesus Christ as your soul is. Amen. And we carry that public burden. We want everybody saved. But then God will sometimes put a particular burden on your heart. Somebody that bears on your heart, a particular person. It may be a parent or a child or a loved one or someone at work. But it's like that weight just will not go off your shoulder. I mean, it's continually on your mind, continually a burden. 1 Samuel 15:10, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul for king, for he turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night because of Saul. When's the last time you had somebody on your heart? If we were to ask for testimony tonight and said, who are you praying for specifically to be saved? Could you name someone? Could you point someone out? I remember as a young man, again, I did not grow up in a Christian home. Didn't have the privilege of Christian education. Didn't have any of that. But when I got saved, I got a burden for my dad to be saved. I mean, it was a heavy burden. And I carried that burden. And I can't tell you how many times I went to bed at night crying. and begging God to save my dad. Whenever I was in church, every church service, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever the preacher preached on, I went down to the altar. And the first thing, I mean every service, I went down and said, Lord, would you please save my daddy? And I had, it's such a burden. I remember one time I was in college, and the preacher preached on hell. And I got such a burden for dad. And I wrote dad a letter back. And I said, Dad, I said, I love you. Thank you for being my dad. But dad, I'm saved and you're not. And I worded it this way. I said, Dad, I don't want to go to heaven if you're not going to go with me, Dad. And I meant it with all my heart. I had such a burden to see him saved. Every time I prayed for my food, I prayed for God to save my dad. Every visiting preacher that came into our church, I carried a picture of my dad in my wallet. And I said, I want you to pray for this man, John Matheson. And one preacher I know, his name was Brother Matthias. He would, sometime he'd call me, he said, how's your dad doing? I've been praying for him. And this went on for years. This went on for years. I remember one time I was praying, and I'm not Pentecostal. But I told the church, I was leading this thing. I told the church, I said I had a vision. And I can't explain this. But I told the church, I said, I saw my dad sitting at the dining room table with a tie on. And dad retired from the army, said, I'll never wear a tie again. And he was sitting with a tie. And he's talking about how good the preaching was. And we had a preacher come through one time named Ronnie Simpson. And I'd always try to get preachers come visit dad. And he sat at that table. And we grew up in a 900 square foot house, six of us in that little house. And they sat at that table. And he'd witnessed to dad, and dad wouldn't get saved. But he said, Mr. Matheson, do you like gospel music? And dad said, yeah, I like it okay. And he said, if you come tonight, me and my family sing, we'll give you a cassette. Now, some of you don't know what a cassette is. But we'll give you a cassette of my family singing. And after the visit, I went out to do my chores outside. And mom yelled out, said, Wayne, dad's going to church tonight. And man, I was bawling, praying, crying. I mean, just snot everywhere. And he preached a message that night. And dad came. And dad sat beside me, and he preached a message on Judas, the lost church member. And during the invitation, I put my arm around dad's shoulder. I said, Dad, don't you want to get saved tonight? And man, because I knew dad was going to get saved that night, and dad said, not tonight. I said, oh, I was crushed. 2 years went by, and I'm still praying for dad, just praying. God, save my dad. God, save my dad. And 2 years went by, and dad had smoked since he was 6 years old. He's now my age. He was 54. I'm 54 now. And he went to Fort Knox Army Hospital, Fort Knox, Kentucky. And the doctor said, Mr. Matthew said, if you don't quit smoking, you're going to die. And that word, you're going to die, scared him. And rightfully so. And we were going to church in Louisville, Kentucky. And the pastor was Wayne Adams. And Thursday night, after Wednesday, I said, pray for dad. And I said, don't pray that he gets better. Pray that he gets saved. And Thursday night, visitation, me and the pastor drove the 40-minute drive down to Fort Knox. And he gets up there, sixth floor. And dad's laying in that bed, breathing apparatuses all around him. And he said, Mr. Matheson, if you died today, where would you go? You know, he's doing the typical soul. He said, I'd go straight to hell is where I'd go. And kind of took the pastor back. He, you know, didn't quite know how to, he used to have to convince him. And so he started giving him the gospel and told him how Jesus died for his sins and told him if he'd repent and turn to Christ, he could get saved. And he said, Mr. Matheson, do you want to get saved tonight? He said, yes, sir. And he started praying. And he started praying. He said, hold it. He said, I want my boy to pray with me. And I got down over my dad. and tears coming down. And I said, Dad, just call on him. He's giving you the gospel. Ask him to save you and he will save you. And he called, my dad called on God that night. He got on the phone. He went to the nurse's station. He said, I got to call mama. And he kissed the nurse on the forehead. And he said, I just got saved. And he called mom and told mom, I got saved. And he got home. And the first thing he did, he poured out all the liquor. Amen. Second thing he did, he burned all the dirty magazines. Amen. He started reading his Bible every day. He started praying. My dad had a terrible temper. And whenever he worked on a car, you better stand clear because that wrench is going to fly across the yard. And when he got saved, he started doing something. Before he started, he said, Lord, don't let me lose my temper. He'd get in that car, and every time he'd go to town, if it was just for a gallon of milk, he'd say, God, keep me safe on the road. And then he'd get home and say, Lord, thank you for keeping me safe on the road. And I remember one Sunday going to church with him. He never did join our church when I was pastor. But I sat at a table with him on a Sunday afternoon. And he had a towel talking about how good the preaching was. I'm telling you, when you get a burden. I remember one time after he got saved, I went to the altar and I prayed, Lord, save my dad. And he said, I already did. Sometimes you carry that particular burden. And it is a heavy, heavy burden. But there are times, I call this a partnership burden. There are sometimes as a church, we collectively get a burden for someone to be saved. You know, somebody comes in and their neighbor or somebody gets a burden for them to get saved. And said, pray for this person. Pray for them to be saved. And it's like the whole church gathers together and they pray for this one person to get saved. We had this lady one time get saved in Kentucky when I pastored. Her name was Amanda and she was, she lived in a trailer park, rough family. But she got saved and she was coming to church. And every service, she said, pray for my husband, Harry, to be saved. Now Amanda was like 6 foot tall. She was an Amazon woman. She was big. And Harry was 5 foot eight, skinny as a rail. And I'd go talk to Harry at his house, and he said, nope, I don't want to get saved. And every service, she'd say, pray for Harry. Ladies would pray at the altar with her. And she would just fall apart over Harry. And the whole church got that burden. And we tried to visit. And one Memorial Day, we had a tent meeting outside. Harry wouldn't come to church. But Harry would go to a tent meeting when we had food afterwards. And we had preaching. The preacher, I don't remember what he preached. But after that first sermon, Harry just pushed his way down the altar. And Harry's bawling and squalling. And Harry got saved. And I'll tell you what the whole church did. The whole church rejoiced. Amen. The whole church was glad. The whole church rejoiced with Amanda because they had a stake in him getting saved. It was a partnership burden where they worked together. Amen. How does this burden start? Well, it starts when you get saved. But it starts... When we think about what we gained when we got saved, I mean, God saved you and you are going to heaven. You are going, he doesn't describe heaven that much. He describes the New Jerusalem, you know, a city 12,000 furlongs, 12 gates, each made out of one pearl, and streets of solid gold. And when we think about what God is saying, and we think about being in the presence of Jesus Christ, when they shall see His face, and because of that possession, I'm telling you, when you get saved, there is a joy there, and you want them to share that joy. Listen, if we could bottle salvation, we could put Budweiser out of business. That's right, because it is good to be saved, amen. The old songwriter had it right. You know, for a long time I traveled and said, I can't carry a tuna in a bucket. Down a long, lonely road, my heart was so heavy in sin, I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out through His saving power. And the chorus says, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. And I'm telling you, when Jesus Christ came in, there's a joy that says, woo, thank God I'm saved. And you want them to have that same joy. You want them to have the same thing that you got. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away, the songwriter wrote. Amen. It is so great a salvation, Hebrews says. But not only because this possession that we have is bliss, but we've missed the punishment. Not only did He save us to heaven, He saved us from hell. He saved us from a place where there'd be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. He saved us a place of eternal damnation, of everlasting burnings. He saved us from hell, amen. And because He saved us from that awful place, we don't want them to go to that awful place. But I think the real reason why we want people saved is because God wants people saved. We are laborers together with Him. Is that right? Laborers together with Christ. Amen. With God. The Bible said we are partakers of the divine nature. Now let me ask a question. Who does God want saved? Somebody tell me. Everybody. Is that right? All men. He wants everybody to be saved. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself what? A ransom for all, the Bible says. Amen. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, verse 7, the same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe, the Bible said. Amen. The Lord is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should go to come to repentance, the Bible says. Amen. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Amen. Jesus Christ died for everybody. And if Jesus Christ wants everybody saved, and we are partakers of the divine nature, therefore we want people saved. That burden is there because Jesus Christ wants them saved. Amen. And God chooses to use us. Sometimes, many times I feel like Mephibosheth. Who am I that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Paul, you know what Paul said about himself? He said, I'm less than the least of all the saints. He said unto Timothy, I'm the chief of sinners. And I marvel that God could use human hands and human voices and human feet to get the gospel across this world. He could have used the angels, but He didn't. Amen. He could have come down directly like He did with the Apostle Paul. But He didn't. He tells us, as His church in 2019, the message hasn't changed to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The message hasn't changed to send missionaries across the globe. The message hasn't changed to be a witness. You know, this is my first time in Alaska. And a little bit different than Florida. And I hear these preachers talk about, you know, did you hear about this? Do you know this preacher? Do you know this preacher? Do you know this preacher? And they're all great preachers. But let me tell you something. If Alaska is going to be reached, it's not going to be reached just through the preachers. It's going to be reached through you. It's going to be reached when you go to work, or you go to the grocery store, or you go to the gas pump, or you knock doors on Saturday. Amen. It's not all on Brother McGovern's shoulders. It's on all of our shoulders. And that's how Alaska is going to be reached. Amen. So we go. You know, we know this. You can go to the store and you find something, you know, made in China with these machines, and they can whip it out and they sell it dirt cheap. But if you find something that somebody makes with these primitive tools, then it has great value in it. And God chooses to use these primitive tools to get the gospel to every creature. With all of our technology and all of our advancements, God still uses the one-on-one contact Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you die today, where would you go? If you die today, would you go to heaven? Amen. God uses you and God uses me to get the gospel. How does this burden continue? It continues by staying close to God. It continues when we have a prayer life. Because when we stop praying and we get out of fellowship with God, that burden, that weight to see somebody saved falls off. Amen. The Bible says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. The Bible says, if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. And when we have that sin there, it will not come in. Amen. But here's what I found in most Baptist churches. We talk about a burden, and we talk about the desire to see people saved, but if you'd be honest, it is not a steady, constant burden, but there are dips where you lose that burden. Yes, you're going through the motions, and yes, you're faithful, but you don't carry the weight anymore. It's like the care has gone, you're doing it out of mechanics, and you lose that burden. So how does it stop? It stops because, how do I say this? Life comes in and sometimes we get so focused just on life in general that we lose that burden. The cares of this world come out, the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. If you're not careful, you will let just the daily grind of life rob you of that burden for sins. You know, sometimes as parents, I've got a 25-year-old, I've got a 23, and then a 10-year-old. So I've got two in college, and I've got one in fifth grade. And sometimes as parents, you're just so bombarded with the cares of parenting that you forget and lose the burden and lose the sight of sinners going to hell. Sometimes it's on your job, you're just so bombarded with the cares of your job that you forget about the souls of men. Life comes in. When we don't see the sinner, we lose that burden. The thing about bus visitation and the thing about going out there where they live is you see them. Sometimes as maybe a mom, you're at home. And you never hardly get out of the house. But I'm telling you, when you get out there and you see dad come out with a beer ball in his hand. And you see the bruises. And you see the hurt. And you see those little kids. And you see the environment that they're raised in. That there's something, that burden begins to swell in you. And you get a burden, a weight on your shoulder to see them get saved. When we sow sparingly, we're going to reap sparingly. But if we sow bountifully, we shall reap bountifully. I tell you the thing that I think affects us as a church is just when you look at the news, just tragedy every day. I mean, school shootings now becoming commonplace. People being murdered all the time. And when we see that constantly, and bombarded with tragedy, it seems like it robs us of the reality that there is something after this life, and there is a soul that's going to heaven or hell. It seems like we lose that. Sometimes these kids will play these video games, and the games are becoming so violent these days. It's. These first-person shooter games, they show the blood, they show the gore, they show all that stuff. And our kids are looking at that stuff and wonder why they don't have burden because they see this killing all the time. And it doesn't affect them anymore. It doesn't bother them anymore. I remember years ago we'd not been married too long and didn't have a television set. So we never saw stuff. And I was in a Walmart. And they were showing You say, preacher, why didn't you have television? Because I would watch it all the time if I had it. And they were showing this Batman movie. And it was, I remember the scene vividly. Joker was there. And this was like the first Batman movie, you know, whatever. And Joker was there and something went wrong. And he said, I need a gun. And his henchman gave him a gun. And he just shot the henchman right there. And I went out of that store just shaken, so bothered that I had witnessed a firsthand murder. But now it doesn't bother us anymore, does it? We see it all the time and it doesn't bother us anymore. And that overabundance of tragedy will cause it to stop. Well, how's it going to end? If you carry a burden for sinners, if you're the one of the ones tonight to carry the weight of seeing somebody saved, how's it going to end? He said, preacher, if I pray for them enough, like your dad, if I pray, will they eventually get saved? I wish I could tell you that everyone you prayed for did get saved. But the truth is, it doesn't. We had a fella, this was one of these partnership burdens. Miss Sumner had a burden for her neighbor, Mr. Haynes. Mr. Haynes was 87 years old. And she said, he's not saved. He needs God. And would you go see him? And I went to see him. He's 87 years old. He said, I'll talk to you about anything except God. Well, that's why I came. I said, okay. I said, what do you want to talk about? And we talked a little bit. And it was just him and her. They had no family around. And I said, Mr. Haynes, would it be okay if I come see you again? And I went to see Mr. Haynes the next Saturday. And he said, I ain't going to talk about God. I asked him, Mr. Haynes, why don't you want to talk about God? Well, he said, back when I was 16, I was going to Sunday school one day, and I decided to skip Sunday school, and I went there behind the barns, and there was a bunch of deacons over there gambling behind the barn. And I said, if that's Christianity, I want nothing to do with it. He'd been carrying that thing for 70 years. And I said, Mr. Haynes, on everybody's that way. And I tried to witness to him. He wouldn't listen. And every other Saturday, I'd go see Mr. Haynes, sit with him about an hour. We'd talk about Model A cars, and we'd talk about old times. And finally, after about four or five visits, maybe six or seven, I said, Mr. Haynes, would it be okay if I read the Bible to you? He said, well, I guess there'd be no harm in reading the Bible to me. So I'd read a couple chapters to him. And every other Saturday I'd go and I'd read a couple chapters. This went on for like a year and a half. And Mr. Haynes moved to another county. And I didn't get to see Mr. Haynes anymore. And I get a phone call one night. Mr. Haynes from Mrs. Haynes said, he's in the hospital. Would you come see him? And it was a Monday, and I couldn't get out there on Monday. But Tuesday night, I went out there, drove the hour and a half out to see Mr. Haynes. And I said, he's 89 now. And he said, oh, my family lives forever. I got plenty of time. But he's sitting on the hospital bed. I said, Mr. Haynes, I've talked to you a lot about the Lord over the last year and a half. Don't you want to be saved tonight? And Mr. Haynes said, yeah, I think it's time. And we prayed, and he called on God, and 15 hours later, he went to heaven. Now, I can tell you another story about a young man named Marty Curry. Marty Curry was the son of one of our members at the church. Marty Curry didn't care a thing about God. Marty Curry one time we had a tornado come through town, and him and his girlfriend at the time was in a fast food place, not fast food, a quick stop gas station. And tornadoes coming through, and the worker went in the freezer locker and they came out. The store was gone. And I said, Marty, I said, God's trying to talk to you. He said, I'll get saved one day. Marty could do sheetrock, drywall. And our church needed some work done, and we brought Marty in and paid him to drywall at the house of God, and he's drywalling, I'm witnessing. And he was always, "Preacher, I'll get saved one day." About a year and a half later, he and his, I think, wife, or it's either wife or girlfriend at the time, head-on collision and died without God. Here's a man that we carried a burden for that said, "No, I do not want to get. I wish I could tell you that everybody you prayed for would get saved. But the choice is theirs." You can pray for them and you carry that burden and you weep for them and you witness to them and you carry that burden, but they make their own decision. And one day, but I'll tell you what, I don't want their blood on my hands. Amen. And we are to warn the wicked of his way. So my question to you, church, tonight, I'm not asking, are you faithful to visitation? I'm not asking, are you faithful to teach your Sunday school class? I'm not asking if you're faithful in whatever ministry you have here at the church. I'm asking, do you have a burden to see people saved? Do you have a weight, or do you go just because if you don't go, the preacher's going to get on you? I'm saying, do you carry the weight? Does that bother you that your coworker is going to hell? Does it bother you that maybe your mom or dad is going to hell? Does it bother you that your son or daughter is going to hell? God commands us to carry that burden. Paul said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Let it never be said that our prayer has ceased to pray for the unsaved man."